Just want to thank you. Thank you for your word, which is powerful to transform our lives. Thank you for your word that we've already heard this morning and for what you're going to bring through Terry. Lord, we pray for him that you will anoint him. Lord, that he may bring your word with power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen.
thank you, John. I've got it on. I still remember some things. Not everything, of course. As one gets older, memories. What was I saying? Anyway, it's lovely to see you all. It's the third Sunday in Advent. Advent was, it's part of the church calendar. And it's four Sundays preceding the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate that next Sunday. But Advent really means coming. Jesus came 2,000 odd years ago. Amazingly, he came as a virgin born of Mary, and that will be the theme of next Sunday, no doubt. We shall remember his coming for the first time. But the Bible tells us he's coming again. So this season of Advent not only commemorates his first coming, but it focuses on the second coming. The church has two bookends. If you have a library, you know that the books are all contained. The first bookend is his first coming, and the last bookend is his second coming. And the church will cease to exist on this earth when he comes again. So it's a very vital thing to reflect upon at this season. I want you to look with me through the scriptures at this amazing event because we're encouraged not only to be ready for Christmas, but to be ready for when he comes back. Now, he's come lots of times in different ways through those 2,000 years. I remember the day he came to me. That was an amazing, exciting time when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to live in my life. And I became a Christian on that day. I also became part of the Church of Jesus Christ on that day. And that is something that we can celebrate, isn't it? That in this room this morning, I trust all of us are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And I think that's exciting. I wouldn't swap it for the world. Somebody once asked a man that when he had been injured on the battlefield and he had a visitor and... He said this to the visitor, he said, I'd give the world to have what you have in your life. And she said, it cost me the world. To be a Christian, to have Jesus Christ in your life, is the most thrilling, exciting thing that any man or woman or young person can have in their lives. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians who... if you know your history, the Jewish nation was wiped out in AD 70. Scattered. Those who remained in Jerusalem seeking to fight the battle and lost because Jesus said they would lose. And it's ever so important to read what Jesus says in the Bible because you can't get round what he has said because it will come to pass. And he told his early disciples, and we shall look back at it in a moment, that two great events would happen in the end of the days. But before we go there, I want you to go into some scriptures in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read them to you. I'll tell you where they are if you can quickly pick them up. Verse 1, chapter 1. God, now I like that, Because in this world in which we live, he is the beginning of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And everything is made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, says the scripture. And I believe it 100%. But God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, in being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. Jesus Christ is exalted high in heavens. I guess he's excited about this season of the year, that people should remember his first coming. You know, it changed the world, turned the world upside down. In fact, we went from BC to AD. So we look back to a time, historical event, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. Chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. Insomuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, God has an answer for everything in our lives. And he will win. I tell you this through experience, that it doesn't matter how serious or difficult it is, God will win if you trust him. And that's a great key, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So we've got to trust him in our lives. Chapter 5, verse 7, who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He says in chapter 9 of this book, for verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He would then have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to make us free from sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing to contemplate in the church on a Sunday morning? That all our sins, if we confess them, have been forgiven and we can be clean. J. John made a comment and he said that his mother had a ministry in guilt trips, because one day he went to church, heard the gospel message, and came home and told his mother that he'd been saved. And she said to him, "You've been brainwashed." He said, "Mother, I've not only been brainwashed, but I've been mind washed and heart washed. And he said, if you knew what was in my mind and in my heart, you'd be ever so pleased that Jesus Christ has washed me clean. You know, Jesus can do an amazing thing in our lives if we let him. Personally, have you been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ on that he died on Calvary? That's what makes you a Christian. J. John also said this, if you take Christ out of being a Christian, you get Ian. And what can Ian do for you? Are you a Christian this morning? Part of Jesus Christ, his body. Well, you'll be excited, won't you? Because he's coming back. And we look a bit at that. Anyway, he says, for not that he should, this is verse 25, not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to offer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men once to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And one final reference in this book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren and ladies, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, not having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When Jesus was on the earth, he mentioned, in fact, the scriptures that refer to the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming is mentioned 8 times more. There's more than 300 references. So when you look at your Bible and you might find one or two, you think, well, yeah, possibly. But you can't deny that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely nailed, rooted in this book. So the disciples wanted to know, from the Lord Jesus Christ, what are the signs of his coming? And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, Jesus highlights 2 great events that would happen before he comes. The first was going to be the complete destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem in AD 70. And apparently, if you look at your history books, and I'm not particularly going to give you a history lesson this morning, but you will know that the Roman emperors, particularly Titus, who completely sacked the city, had surrounded the city in AD 66. There were some more than over a million resistance fighters in the city. Now, that's not bad gathering of people. And they were determined to fight the Roman invasion. Jesus said to his disciples that it will be destroyed. And you can read about it in this section in Luke chapter 21 and also in Matthew chapter 24. But this is what he said to them, and I think this is very important in verse 20 of chapter 21. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. Let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be are fulfilled. Now, if Jesus was to say to you, now I want to tell you this, that in 2017, an army is going to come into Eltham and it's going to completely obliterate everybody, what would you do? Think, well, I don't know whether it's going to happen. Well, I want to tell you this, that 1,100,000 people didn't believe it. They were Jewish people. And so they fought. They had a pretty great... If you read the history of it, you will know that the bodies of men, women and children were stacked so high that the conquering army had to tread on them to get to kill the next person. They killed over 1 million people and took into slavery 97,000 others. It's all written here. It happened in AD 70. But the importance of this particular fact is that what Jesus says next. You see, he's telling them the sign of the times. So Advent, we're thinking of his second coming. He's coming back. And he says this in verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and from expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your hearts, because your redemption draws near. And then it says in verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing. Now, that apparently is partying. And, you get the impression what kind of partying is going on. Drunkenness, cares of this life, and the day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. And then he went to the cross for us. Gave his life for us, shed his precious blood, cleansed us from our sin. And then 40 days later, he went to be with his Father in heaven, and 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the church was born. And here it is today, a part of it, here. I'm so thrilled to be part of it. But more than that, to be part of him, to be in fellowship with him, to know him. It is said, and I won't tell you who said it, in case you think I'm addicted to him. He said there's two great things to know in your life. To know Jesus Christ personally and to make him known. Guess who said that? I could quote other people, but I won't, unless it comes to mind, of course. So let's think for a moment then about this amazing return. When's it going to happen? Well, of course, we don't know. In fact, no one knows the time or the hour that the Lord will return. But we have got some clues, I suppose, that we can look at, because Jesus mentioned it, Peter mentioned it, Paul mentioned it. So we've got all these references we could look at. But let's just highlight on three. First, that it's set in God's heart to happen. He's coming back. So when you sit round your table thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, then you will know that he's not only come, but he's coming back again. Let's look at, for instance, we go into the book of Thessalonians. Here's Paul's. He's concerned, or the people are concerned. And he says this in verse 13 of chapter 4. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, isn't it amazing that when Jesus died on that cross at Calvary, Matthew tells us that even those who had been dead walked around Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? It must have been in heaven such an amazing event that God had sent his son to die on a cross at Calvary, and people walked around, knocked on their other people's doors. You know, might say, hi, John, I'm back. I might do that to you one day. When I'm gone. But don't you think that this gospel is an amazing thing? How can you not believe that Jesus Christ is real? You know, you talk to people out there and they just haven't got a clue about what Christmas is about. He's coming. For I say this by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What an amazing thing to hear the sound of the trumpet. Everybody will hear it. Everybody in every part of the world will see it. It's set in God's heart. It's also going to be spectacular. Yeah. Don't you think so? What does Paul write in Corinthians? This is the 15th chapter of Corinthians. He says this. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it should be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We'll have a new body. I mean, you could do with a new body, couldn't you? No more pain, no more suffering, no more aches, no more sickness, no more disease. And we shall live forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And it all began at Christmas time. When we carve the turkey, if we have turkey, remember him. It's not just Xmas. It's the fact that Jesus Christ has begun something wonderful and new in this world in which we live. The strength of the sting of death is sin, it says, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, there is victory here this morning in this message against anything. You know, you can be changed, have a new life. And there's healing in it too, in this message. So let's ask God to do these wonderful things that we've been praying about this morning. It's going to be spectacular. Here's Peter. He's talking about these things. And he takes us back to the days of Noah. You may remember that Noah preached his gospel that that God was going to come and flood the earth, and they didn't listen to him until it came. And then they cried out. And there was no answer. They'd missed the boat, as we say. Don't miss the boat. For this they willingly forget, verse 5 of chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Jesus said this to his disciples, as was in the days of Noah, shall it be when the Son of Man comes back again. They will be eating and drinking, and it will come upon them suddenly, as it were out of nowhere, as a thief in the night. Peter says this. Let's go on. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. If you're a scholar of what is called eschatology, which is the doctrine of the second coming, you might blow your mind trying to work out where the 1,000 years fits in. It's a difficult subject. It will take more than 5 minutes for me to explain it to you, so I won't explain it to you. You have to read your Bibles, and you have to come to your own conclusion with the help of other commentators and some good friends around you to try and fit in this millennium, the pre, post, amillennial position. But I think this is a great key for us, that with God, he's talking about a day. And his day, I believe, began when he came and will end when he comes again. It's the day of grace. It's the day of forgiveness. It's the day of love. It's the day of miracles. Let's pray God do more miracles among us. Let's pray God do more forgiveness among us. Let's pray God change hearts more and more. It's the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that wonderful? Our friends, our neighbours, who sit round us at the Christmas table, who we meet in the context of our family gatherings, there's still hope for them to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing impossible with God. He doesn't use the word impossible. All things are possible. He says it himself. We can believe him. We might have to pray harder. We might have to ask him to put it in our hearts. We might have to seek him with all our hearts. But we know that it's not impossible. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, so we're going to have this great, amazing happening, that it's all going to be destroyed. Do you believe it? The disciples didn't. They found it difficult to grasp. The people that lived in Jerusalem in AD 66 didn't believe it until it happened in AD 70. They didn't believe Jesus, what he said. They have a wonderful phrase in Africa. If you've ever been to Africa, you'll understand it. They say, are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus talked about the man who wasn't careful and allowed the thief to come in when he wasn't looking. See, a thief doesn't knock on your door and say, excuse me, but I'm going to burgle you tomorrow night. Well, no thief I know anyway. Therefore, and here's what Peter encourages, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace. We were encouraged to find peace. Have you found it in your own heart? Peace. May the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He is our peace. It's made broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having made in himself out of two one new man, so making peace. He's the peacemaker. He'll sort it out for you. He'll do it. Without spot and blameless. Think of all those things that you've done. All those things that keep on nagging at the back of your mind. They can all be washed away. So that when he comes, you will be ready. Are you ready for him now? You might think, well, I haven't got the dinner ready yet. Well, what if he comes? Will you be ready? You know, he tells a wonderful story. In fact, Jesus tells lots of lovely stories. And he talks about a story between sheep and goats. It's interesting, isn't it? Whenever the Bible talks about his people, he always talks about them as sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And he says, you know, talks about sheep as being people, you know, the lamb he puts on his shoulder and carries home and so on, or the lost sheep and so on. goats. But in he said in Matthew's gospel, when he comes, he will come and separate the sheep from the goats. Somebody told me, and I haven't yet found it, you may know where it exists, I'd love to know it, but somebody said that there was 10 differences between sheep and goats. Apparently sheep go bar bar and goats go me me. Apparently. There are others, you know. Sheep provide wool that helps us in our clothing. Goats are particularly useless, apparently. But goats in the Bible, you've got, you know, they just had sin put on them and got shoved out into the wilderness. And so on. There's lots of differences. But Jesus uses this parable. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left, and he will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And they said, well, when did we do all that? When did we do that for you, Lord? He said, when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. We do not know the hour or the time when the Lord will come. I don't understand, well, I do read through the books of the Bible, and I have read through the book of Revelation and looked at all the various symbols and signs. I don't understand it all. I'm a simple thinking fella. I'm not a theologian. So one thing I know, and this is what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 3, to know him is eternal life. Know him this morning. And if you don't know him, just pray a simple prayer and just receive him into your life. Because just be a sheep. Let's pray. Let me pray for you. Father, we do thank you this morning that we can celebrate this time when you will come, when you came. And it's a wonderful time, Lord. Kids will put it on here on the platform, and they will play Joseph and Mary and the angel Gabriel and the shepherds and the kings and the wise men and all these wonderful things. And I think it's so marvelous, Lord, that you came. I thank you, Lord, that you're coming back to wind up this world and finish it all and make a new heaven and a new earth where dwells righteousness. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you came to me, and you've come to live in my life and my heart. And I just pray for those, Lord, where you need to come, Lord. And I know that you can just simply come, even if we just pray, Lord Jesus, come and live in me. Thank you for dying on the cross at Calvary. Thank you for forgiving me my sin. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you, Lord, that I can be part of this amazing event when you return back to this earth. And if I'm alive, I shall be carried up into heaven with you. If I've died, I will be raised first. And we shall ever be with you. You came first for sin, but you came second for salvation. And we thank you for it. Amen. Thank you very much.